All right, so just want to let everyone know we are recording this meeting. Great to see everybody here. I am going to share my screen so that you can see the agenda. Okay?
Okay.
Can you read the agenda, Anu?
I can.
You won't be able to see it when you share it.
No problem. I will read it out loud. So our meeting time at 4:30, our usual meeting time. Bear with me for a moment. I just need to find my, there we go. Okay. So we were intending to start at 5:30, not terribly late. Next on the agenda is 5:35 p.m. prior meeting minutes and board report. 5:40 is the safety concerns. The topic for the concerns was current pandemic. 6 p.m. final approved budget committee discussion. 6:30, Metro Access changes due to coronavirus impacts on service, and Ms. Williams-Hall will give us some update. 6:45, Abilities Right update. Mr. Blake will be able to give us, share some information, if there is any. 7 p.m., Metro Access sedans. Again, Mr. Blake will give us any update, if there is any. And 7:15, we usually have public comments, which for this specific meeting, we do advise our public to either provide us with their comments via email, and they can send us emails to aacchair@wata.com or call in at 202-962-1100. We do have bus rail subcommittee meeting report at 7:20. Mr. Calabria will give us the update. 7:25 is the Metro Access subcommittee report, and Mr. Semaphore will give us the report. 7:30 is the adjourn time. I would like to begin by taking a roll. So if whoever has joined the meeting, please tell me if you're here when I call your name. Dr. Posner?
Present.
Ms. Rush?
Here.
Mr. Ariza Silva? He's not here. Okay. Tony, is Ms. Bush?
Here.
Mr. Calabria?
Here.
Mr. Crawford?
Here, but not all there.
As usual.
Mr. Dancy? Okay. So we do have the interpreters for Mr. Dancy. He's not connected with us at this time. Give me 1 second. I apologize, I lost my roll call here. Mr. Oberg?
Hello.
Mr. Semaphore?
Here.
Who am I missing?
Steve Kaplan.
Okay, we are hearing a lot of feedback here. Mr. Kaplan?
Here.
Can you mute everybody? Well, that'd be hard to do, but...
I can mute everyone, then unmute everyone, sure. Okay. Have I missed anyone yet?
We have a number of people that have just signed in as telephone numbers. There are any members of the committee who are here but whose name has not been called yet, please.
I know.
Mr.
I saw Mary Kay and Anthony.
And Kelly Simon is on as well.
Kelly
Sheen's here.
Mr. Sheehan, thank you.
Is Philippa here?
Ms. Mazzell? I am not sure who is this individual.
Yes.
Dang.
We hear, all right.
Maybe we need to mute until we get ready to say something.
I will mute everyone. And Dr. Posner, you can unmute yourself.
Yes.
And we can continue with the meeting.
Okay.
Okay, there we go.
Thank you.
Welcome, everybody. It's a new trip into the 21st century for the group. Not much travel, but no food. So we get to feed ourselves tonight. We start off by going over the preceding minutes of the meeting and the board report, if everybody is happy with the agenda. The agenda is posted on the page, and you have read off the agenda. Can I ask somebody, give me a second, I'm moving the agenda as is, and can I have a second for that?
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Okay, the minutes of the preceding meeting, hopefully everyone's had a chance to read it. It's been posted on the website over the weekend. And can I have a second for that?
Second.
Any discussion? All in favor?
Excuse me. I didn't hear what was being discussed.
The minutes of the preceding meeting.
Oh.
If there's no discussion, all in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Aye. Aye.
Okay, the meetings are approved. And the last thing is going to be the letter to the board report.
I move to approve the letter.
I'd like to second, but I also sent out an email hoping that we would include a statement of gratitude to all the workers and the contractors who are carrying on. Just today, I looked at the WMATA website, and I found that there are 15 confirmed cases of employees who have contracted the coronavirus. Two are hospitalized. Five are bus operators. Most recent report of someone who has been confirmed is of April 1st, so I don't know how current the website is, but there are 15 confirmed employees who have contracted the coronavirus, and two are hospitalized. There's been a move to approve the board report. I would like to add something that mentions our gratitude to the all the frontline workers who are continuing to try and keep us afloat.
Well, we can fix that one sentence. I have already thanked everybody. I thank the board, I thank the GM, I thank ADAP staff, I thank everybody that keeps the system alive and running. But if I've missed anyone, I'll fill that in.
I didn't see it in the draft of the board report, but...
I'll go back and check. I thought I had thanked everyone, but I'm happy.
No, it wasn't in the board report. It was not the There was no specificity regarding expressing gratitude to those who are carrying on. And maybe some mention could be made of the fact that we know at least 15 members have been confirmed as contracting the coronavirus.
I'll make the change. Okay, can we have, we've had a second, we've had a discussion, all in favor of the board report with the amendment suggested?
Aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Nobody's opposed? No abstentions, so we're ready to go to the next item on the agenda. And I think Mr. Blake, are you up next to talk about safety? Or is
actually, we were going to have the chief safety officer join us, but unfortunately, she couldn't make it tonight. So, I mean, we're open to any questions you may have, but in terms of a metro safety discussion, especially in this sensitive time, I would defer to our chief safety officer when she can get here. But if you have any specific safety-related issues, you know, we'll be happy to see if we can address them, and if not, we will certainly forward them to the chief safety officer for a written response prior to the next meeting or so.
Thank you. As an information item, I attended the RAC meeting last week with Paul. I mean, with Mr.
Colin.
Remind me who I attended with, but one of the RAC members had brought the information to me that there have been some problems with the rear bus boarding for people in wheelchairs and walkers. And there are instances reported that people on walkers and crutches and canes were forced by the drivers to enter through the rear door, which was very, very difficult for them to do. They almost had to be lifted up to get onto the bus. I forwarded that to Mr. Wiedefeld, and he instantaneously replied that he would be sending a memo out to all of the bus employees and drivers to make sure that they knew that people on walkers, people on canes, people with difficulty climbing stairs would be boarding through the front of the bus using a lift as if they were in a wheelchair. So I thought everybody should know about that. And if there are any further incidents that anyone becomes aware of, please let us know so we can forward it on to make sure that those people that can't board in the rear of the bus are permitted by the drivers to board in the front.
And Phil, I sent that on to Colin.
No, that's good, Patrick. Thank you. Were there any other safety concerns that anyone has run into from their contacts or from their employees?
Phil, let me mention again that I don't know how many or whether bus drivers would be required to get out of their seats to assist, but I can see why some of them would be reluctant if that were the case, because of the 15 confirmed cases, five are bus operators. There's no mention of for example, any rail car train operators, but I think we ought to appreciate the fact that some bus operators may be reluctant to try and assist from the front.
No, it wasn't the assistance at the front, Tino. The front, there is a drift, a lift or a kneel that the people with mobility devices can use to get on, whereas in the back they have to go up on the steps. And so there's no need for the driver to do anything but lower the lift and let them come on. I'll also point out that there's a 14-day incubation period for the virus. And so of the people that have been infected, we don't know when they were initially infected. So it may or may not have been due to the virus.
Hey, Phil?
Yeah.
Question, this is Pat, a question as to whether the bus drivers are wearing masks at all.
No.
Not?
Would that be something that might be advisable?
Well, it's something that should be suggested that we would support providing R29 masks for the drivers, because those are the ones that are protected against inhaling. The regular plain cotton masks that people use are worthless for protecting the wearer. What they do is they protect the passengers and the people around them. So we can recommend that and support it. If someone would like to make a motion for that, we can vote on it.
First of all, what code did you say for the mask? The only number code that I know about is the N95, which is apparently the best of the lot.
Well, those are the ones that we will recommend.
I'm sorry?
Those are the ones that we will recommend.
Okay.
Not applied for your drivers.
Okay, as long as it's the best that can be obtained.
So someone will give us a motion and have a second, and then we'll vote on it. And then I'll add that to the letter.
Mr. Chair?
Yes.
I just want to point out that continuous wearing of a mask can be pretty problematic for the wearer, simply because they're not all that comfortable and it gets real hot behind that mask. But I don't know what that means in terms of the discussion, but I think it's something relevant to point out.
Well, it's nice to point out I have worn those masks. And they are difficult to breathe through, but it's better than getting the virus. And so if they're provided to the driver, it's the driver's option to use it for protection. They also would be using it during their shift, and I don't know how long the shifts are. When they can take them off and, you know, be in a safe place to use that. But I would recommend that they be made available to the drivers for their use at their discretion.
Well, I'll second that. Let's move on.
Okay, all in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Okay, I'll add that to the board letter so that can go out.
This is Steve. Can you hear me?
Feedback.
To sign-ons, we're getting incredible feedback from you.
And now I think he's muted.
Okay, I think our
only one device, two devices do that.
Sorry about that.
Can't be on the phone and computer.
Yeah. Okay. All right. Is this better?
Yes, thank you.
I think our comment should speak to the availability of masks in case the driver needs to open the front door, because right now the driver is well separated with that chain from the passengers, and he or she is probably the best judge to know whether a mask wearing long term would inhibit his driving. But I think perhaps our comment should speak with the availability.
Well, that's up to general manager's availability of supply. Who knows where those masks are available and how people can get them. So all we're recommending is that they be made available, if possible, to the drivers.
I think Heidi had her hand up.
She was explaining to us why we're getting the
masks. Is it possible for me to say something about that? Because the letter I sent out, national disability organizations are dealing with all of the issues. There is an op-ed by someone many of you have met, Carol Tyson. And in that, the national organization, disability organizations, like Disability Rights and Education Defense Fund, the Consortium on Citizens with Disabilities, they have a wonderful letter that they're requesting people share with transit leaders on the best ways for people with disabilities to deal with this change in the rear door. you know, people going in the rear door, who does it, how we make sure that it's communicated to people, all kinds of people who are not used to it, and how they, and it's really a good letter, which I'm happy to share.
And I sent it out, Heidi.
I'm sorry, you have it?
I sent it out. Your email to me, I forwarded it to the committee.
Okay, that's a, that letter is an op-ed which encourages the support that drivers, and we really have to think about Metro Access too, because they have so much more close contact with people, but supports the idea of having them have masks. So that was the letter I sent you. But there's another document which I could forward to you that really details all the things that they've looked at and thought about in managing the rear door, plus besides the front door. And just a quick comment, my personal experience has been quite good as a wheelchair user. The times I've had to use the bus, I expected it to be, you know, having to sort of struggle with drivers to get them to allow me to, but it's been just the opposite. And I've seen several times repeated where they were allowing people with walkers and other things to use the front door because of the ramp or dropping the bus. So just FYI.
Well, that's great. So the GM's memo obviously had an effect. That's good. That's good. Also, Ms. Williams, I'm sure, is going to talk about the safety changes for Metro Access. In fact, what I'm going to ask is that we move her up if she's ready to go, and then we can move the budget to the stop after that.
Yes, we can certainly do that. Just let me know when you're ready.
Go ahead, Carrie-Anne, it's all yours.
Okay, good afternoon, everybody. And as mentioned, we've done quite a bit of things since this all started. We covered a lot of territory with an immediate focus on operator and customer service. Here's some of our efforts. First, through Metro's fixed route services, even though they've been reduced, Metro Access has continued to run the full Monday through Friday schedule, including service area and hours. The number of vehicles on the street have obviously been scaled back in accordance with our much lower demand for service. We implemented daily disinfecting cleaning of Metro Access vehicles. Normally, those same vehicles would be disinfected once per week. We notified the chief safety officer whenever we've transported a known or suspected COVID-19 positive passenger, and we are now offering alternative transportation for these customers. We altered our scheduling practice to encourage minimal passenger capacity on our vehicles. This allows for social distancing while on board the Metro Access vehicles. We maintain our daily and weekly contact with our providers to obtain on-the-street service status updates. And finally, we maintain proactive forecasts on the service delivery contractor disinfection solution inventories, and we've partnered with our procurement office to procure bleach to augment as necessary. I'll take your questions.
Thank you. I think we had one question from Paul earlier, and that is, since WMATA is constantly changing the hours for the bus and rail routes, is Metro Access going to go along with what those changes are? Are they going to continue to have the same service area that currently exists?
So we have worked very hard to ensure that our service area and times remain the same despite the changes that Metro has made to its primary services. So to date, there's not been any change in the service that Metro Access provides.
Well, that's super. Thank you.
And then I have a question.
Sure.
Well, let me finish up for a second, Paul.
Okay, go ahead.
The other thing that's happened is the STAR program in Arlington now is cutting their surgical face masks. I'm talking in the background.
Yeah, I can't hear you right now.
Yeah, I can't hear.
STAR in Arlington has now reduced the hours of their service. So most of the reservations.
One moment, Mr. Posner. Can you mute everyone else? Because I cannot hear him.
Dr. Posner, excuse me. I'm going to mute everyone. You'll have to unmute yourself.
I'll do that. Thank you.
Okay.
Okay, I'm unmuted. The question is, Arlington is basically limiting their call-in center for hours. And the question I had is whether Metro Access is going to do something like that, or whether you're going to be able to continue to have your full service hours.
Well, let me just jump in and just say this, because Terrian accurately pointed out that, yes, to date, we have not cut back the service area or the service hours of Metro Access. That is, as she pointed out, our goal going forward throughout the entirety of this COVID-19 crisis. But I don't want to get in a position where we're locking ourselves and say we won't do anything, i.e., reduce the call center hours or the service hours or service area, because this situation is changing so rapidly, and we can't be in a position where we lock ourselves in. But I will say that I know it's my commitment and Terrian's commitment that we keep the Metro Access Monday through Friday service area as it is, but with scaled back resources on the street to reflect the lower demand.
That's super, thank you. The other thing, and again, that's a possibility, is whether there is going to be something done for people that have tested positive for the virus and need to get to a hospital, whether they're going to be referred to medical transport rather than having them come on Metro Access vehicles.
So what we've done on that is, you all know how much I tout the Abilities Ride program and how much it gives us a lot of flexibility. Well, we've done the same thing now with this situation. So let me just say, we're not going to guarantee that every single customer, because as this thing, if this continues and more customers become either known to have it, because we're taking what I call a nuclear option. If a customer believes they have it, or have been confirmed, we're treating them kind of the same way. But right now, what we've done is add two, if you want to say temporary Abilities Ride providers to the system, and their specialty is transporting customers who have either said they have COVID-19, they've been tested as positive for COVID-19, or they believe they've been exposed to somebody with COVID-19 and thus may have it themselves. They book their trips on Metro Access, and then Metro Access will move it to one of the two providers. And thus far, we've provided four of these trips so far.
That's great. Thank you. Paul, did you want to ask your question now?
So my question is, are we providing, what kind of protections are we providing to the drivers right now who have to transport customers? Are we giving them at least hand sanitizers or gloves or masks or any Lysol disinfectant? I know you have policies against using that, but, after each customer passes through, using a seat to spray down. I'm probably not, but I'm just asking those questions.
Terrian, did you want to take that, or you want me to?
I can. I'm sorry. I was struggling to find my a mute option. But we've done quite a bit there. Most of it has been partnering with service delivery. At the onset of this effort, we asked service delivery to share with us whatever their needs were for disinfectant, for PPE, personal protective equipment. They forwarded those things to us. We approved those purchases. So we relied most heavily on the service delivery providers to provide those tools for their vehicle operators. Where we can, Metro has been vigilant about augmenting what they already have. So as you know, those things are a hot commodity right now. We certainly don't have as much as we would like to have, but the service delivery providers and Metro Access, or Metro, has been committed to providing all of those things. Some of them include masks, gloves, hand sanitizers, and wipes. Some of the service delivery providers actually have even more than that in terms of the suits that you would put on if you were carrying a known positive.
Because because what I'm hearing as I'm writing from drivers is some of the providers are not providing them anything and they're using their own. And for me, that concerns me.
And well, probably sure. That would be a concern too. And every time we hear those things, that information is referred back to that service delivery provider and they go back to that individual because, you know, there are going to be pockets of things no matter how hard you try.
Okay, I'm just asking. That's all.
Yeah. So these folks have been committed to supplying these things and we check on a regular, almost daily, hour by hour basis.
And I know what you said in the beginning, in terms of like New York City, they stopped providing shared rides well because they have much worse situation. So, and I know that's not in the spirit of ADA, but because of the pandemic, like I heard from you before, I was reiterating, are y'all doing similar to the same thing as best as possible in order to, abide by social distancing? Because it's kind of hard to be 6 feet away from another customer in the back of, when the seats are in the back of that van.
So, yeah, we're actually going a little bit further than that. We're trying to make sure that every trip only contains one customer per trip or the customers that are booked for that one trip. So in the event that a customer has a PCA or a companion, those would be the only people on that trip.
So okay. So similar to what New York City's done since March 23rd. Okay.
Yes.
And also with the driver at social distancing, are y'all looking forward towards in the future because they have to kind of go, most customers go through the door. Are y'all moving towards customers having to, similar to the bus, use the lift only where there's social distancing? I'm just kind of putting out all those things if that's what y'all looking at in terms of enhancing social distancing. And I know it's hard to do it with a Metro Access van because some type of service has to be provided to the customers because they have disabilities. And what you have in terms of, you know, door-to-door and things like that.
We have really looked at all of those options in grave detail. And in fact, service delivery has let us know that when you move to the option of rear boarding or i.e. the lift in our case, that increases the contact with the customer because the driver has during the operation of the lift. So Mr. Semaford, I assure you, everything we've thought about it, as things are changing and new recommendations come about, that's one of the first things that we do. We explore it and see how it matches the service that we provide.
Okay, I have no further questions unless anyone else has as relates to that.
Terry, how are you handling the money? Money's a big vector in the cash fare customers. Are they able to just drop their money in the box so that the driver doesn't have to handle it?
So that is one thing we have not changed that I'm aware of, but I'd like to refer to one of my service delivery providers to see if they've changed that procedure. And maybe we just have not covered that. That is an excellent question. Can one of the service delivery providers who has changed that procedure, if you have, share with us what you're doing?
Robbie, you're here. Do you have any input on that?
Well, as of this date, first of all the drivers are wearing gloves. That's mandatory now at Diamond. I would add, however, to revert back to the mask issue, that the N95 masks are literally not available. As a matter of fact, it's being discouraged to order them because those are going to public health and first responders. But we are, to Mr. Semaford, to, you know, maybe what you are hearing is we are now, we've gone with the CDC recommendation on masks and that we have offered masks that have been made of t-shirts. Actually, my wife and I sat up and made 80 masks last night because we knew the CDC, but these were out of t-shirts. Some were new, some were old. We offer these to the operators and we're expecting an order of masks that are the cloth masks to come in, but the use of the masks is still up to the operator.
Okay.
The use of the gloves is mandatory when you're on our property and when you're driving the vehicle. So the money exchange, then hopefully the gloves will take care of that. We are not doing anything else like bags or anything else of that nature right now. I hope that answers your question.
All right. That's good to hear from you. Thank you.
We're going to have to tell the drivers that they need to disinfect the gloves every time they take money. Because even with the gloves on, if the gloves get the virus and then they put the gloves to their nose or to their eye or to their mouth, because we all do that, just like you have to wash your hands every time you're in contact with somebody, anytime they have any contact with the money or with the passenger, they're going to have to decontaminate their gloves.
Yeah, and you know what? To be honest with you, we have not really discussed the money. I think that this is really great to hear this because I guarantee you, Ms. Williams Hall leadership, we will be discussing the money probably very shortly. So I think there's some other alternatives that we can present, maybe a bag or something of that nature. But the disinfectant also, most of the operators were providing their own disinfectant, but we also have that's coming very quickly. We hope to get the disinfectant where it's inside the vehicle. So that could be a protocol we've put in place going forward. But as of right now, as Ms. Williams-Hall says, we are cleaning the vehicles thoroughly after every shift and before they enter Metro Access service. But the exchange of money issue, we have not really addressed.
Thank you, Robbie, for that. That's good to hear. Okay, thank you.
And if they can, wipe the equipment, the mobility equipment, because the virus lives on metal. And so, again, the tie downs that are going to touch the wheelchairs or the devices or the devices themselves, an alcohol wipe is going to be really useful to keeping that clean. And it's got to be done after every use.
After every use. Well,
I know it's going to be hard because of the shortage of all this equipment. But one of the things that I learned in surgery, you can be sterile, you can be clean, you can be dirty, and shoot for at least clean. A wipe, with the ethanol or the spray, and they can use things like Pledge that clean countertops. Or spray bottles to spray the equipment and wipe it off with just plain paper towel. And that will help quite a bit to reduce their exposure, because I see our drivers as frontline. I mean, they're at as much risk as first responders. And they are saving lives by getting people where they need to go. So whatever we can do to train them to protect themselves, I think is really important. And I know Ms. Williams is doing that. I appreciate it.
Well, we thank you for those additional recommendations, Dr. Posner, and I assure you we will definitely take those things into consideration.
Great. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Okay, any other comments or questions? As we're moving on. Okay, what I'm going to suggest that we do the Abilities Ride update. Mr. Blake was nice enough to send it out to everybody just before the meeting, but would you like to do an overview of it for us?
I'll just be real quick, because again, the biggest thing is that has happened with Abilities Ride is this temporary addition to support our Metro Access operators, as well as protect our customers by doing our very best to try not to have anyone that at least that we know of who possibly could or does have COVID-19 not be on the vans to begin with. So that's been our biggest thing with Abilities Ride prior to, in fact, leading up to the second week of March, the Abilities Ride program was rolling along as we have been planning it, and we're adding, a few customers here and there to the promotional side of it as we're trying to get customers one at a time. We're not trying to do one big fell swoop, because that probably would have just gotten out of hand and we would have not had the staff to really control everything. But as you will see, the February and January numbers were 31,000 trips on Abilities Ride each month, and we were well on our way to exceed that for the month of March, and then COVID-19 crisis brought down all of the ridership. So we scaled back even more on Abilities Ride than we did on Metro Access, because Abilities Ride is really just a complement alternative to the paratransit service. So there probably won't be a whole, I mean, we're always open to answering questions, but there probably won't be a whole lot more updates when it comes to Abilities Ride until we get back to normal service on paratransit on Metro Access.
Thank you. I have one question about Abilities Ride and also a little bit about Metro Access. Guessing that a number of the rides on both of those are for people getting food, going to supermarkets or whatever. And I know on...
Did we lose you?
Oh, did we lose Phil?
This is Heidi. Can I share a way to get to the grocery store? Transport DC opened up to the grocery store all month long now during this period of time on the $5 fare, which is new, but prioritizing people's needs to do that all month long. It is something that DC residents can utilize now that they could not before. FYI.
Thank you, Heidi.
That is good news. So I think one of the things, I mean, is Phil, are you back?
I think he got disconnected. I'm trying to connect with him.
So while he joins us back, if I can perhaps forecast maybe what his question was going to be, that for trips such as a grocery store where Metro Access drivers providing door-to-door service and supports with up to 4 bags, I believe, if I'm not mistaken, well, you have these Abilities Ride taxi drivers and others, and they kind of just sit in the vehicle. Are they helping the customer? I mean, I think that may be the question. And while there have been some drivers who are the more traditional taxi drivers and they sit, customers help themselves, I think what we tried to do at the onset of the program 3 years ago, and we really did it when we worked on this expansion, is I personally have gone out and been talking to drivers, but also emphasizing to the companies to talk to their drivers that, hey, this is a golden opportunity. If you provide less service than what these customers have been accustomed to on Metro Access, as opposed to what you should be doing is more service, then all they're gonna do is end up going back to Metro Access and you're gonna miss out. So, and to this point in time, when you look at the ridership, you look at the number of customers who continue to call me, I think we had like 3 more today who wanna sign up, and I tell them, hold on, you know, the promotions will come back, but you know, right now there's so much capacity on Metro Access, please go use that. But right now, I won't say every driver has been perfect, but looking at the recurring demand and growing demand for the program, I would say most drivers have been very helpful to the passengers to this point.
And I will say, Mr. Blake, that right now, because Silver Cab has less ridership, they've been a little bit more responsive than usual during this period. Like one driver told me, if it wasn't having for Metro Access customers, I wouldn't be able to make much out here right now because the demand has gone down for obvious reasons.
Mm-hmm. And the demand is one thing, and we always said that's why, and I'm working to get more and more. We've got, as you know, Paul, because you've taken it, we have 2 companies out of Prince George's now. That's Uber and Silver Cab. And you're right. They were having a difficult time with the demand.
Demand
still should not be an excuse for not going above and beyond to win over customers who they otherwise would not have. But I hear your point, though, that with the demand down, that obviously means their incomes are down and now they probably are being a little more responsive. So we don't have to keep that up once the demand and all this COVID-19 stuff goes away as well.
Yeah, because what I've noticed is, I'm getting a driver faster if I choose not to use Metro Access and plan it out. And some of them even say, when you're coming back, I'll sit here 30 minutes if you're not staying that long, for, because they want the return trip for obvious reasons, depending on where I'm going, that type of thinking. I'm like, oh, okay, it's just a cell phone number. You just have to be in the area to get the trip, that type of deal. Even though that's not encouraged. However, given what's going on,
I didn't allow that at the MTA, but I will let it go over here.
Yeah. But given the circumstance, it's like, okay. Yes, you know, during this current thing, but they're still hesitant also because of COVID-19, because they're wearing masks and gloves and everything else, and concerned. But like I said, this business is still running, and this is what I'm seeing right now, my observation, sort of few times I've taken it in the past few weeks.
Well, we appreciate that feedback, and we'll keep monitoring. And believe it or not, there's still a lot of trips occurring out there, even with so many things closed. People do have demand, especially, of course, dialysis and other medical appointments. So we're still seeing demand for service, just not as much as we normally would. Manu, unless anyone else has any more questions about that, I see Heidi has a question. Okay.
Well, I was just going to comment. There's a new general manager, at least for the VIP part of that company, which is a woman who came up from the ranks, and she's incredible. And it's made a difference that we've seen under Transport DC also in the service we're receiving. But I'm sure the demand is a part of it, but there has been some new leadership change also. And just to say, we've seen positive changes from that. And of course, because it's a woman.
I know, that's right. Excellent. Okay. So if we want to move forward, I mean, mm-hmm. and now have Madam here take over. Well, what's next on the agenda? The subcommittee report. So if the Madam Vice Chair wants to take over and
actually, Dr. Posner just joined back us in.
Okay.
And next on the agenda was Ability Stride. You have already given Metro Access Sedans, if there is any update.
Oh, okay. Well, is Dr. Posner there, though? Is the chairman there?
I'm back.
He's back.
Okay. Did you hear my answer to what I think was your question? Oh.
I think we lost him again.
Well, we'll come back to that at the end of the meeting if there's a little bit of time. I'll just say, ladies and gentlemen, there's no update on the sedans because, as with everything, our procurement team is now laser focused on COVID-19 related procurement. So our sedans were never the highest priority. They're important to us and they're important to me. But right now, they've had to be put on the side as our procurement team is laser focused on COVID-19 related procurements.
Dr. Posner has joined back in.
Yes, I apologize. I was knocked off. Thank you on that. The question I was asking, I don't know if Heidi came up with another response, was that on short trips to the pharmacy or for groceries or whatever, is it possible for the dispatch to arrange to have the same van take them and take them home? That eliminates having to decontaminate vans in between trips if it's the same passenger in the same place.
Well, ironically, Paul mentioned how, at least with Silver Cab and recently through the lower demand, some drivers have actually told him if you let him know what time his return trip, they'll be outside and they're willing to wait up to 30 minutes for the return trip. And I'll just say this.
I know it's not allowed, but however.
Right. And well, let's not say it's not allowed, because I don't want you to feel you're breaking the rules. At MTA, we did not allow it. It was strictly prohibited because we felt it could potentially create circumstances. I'll just put it that way.
Okay, good.
I have never, I've always told you all about that, but I've never enforced it here. And again, if you find yourselves, I want you always to be careful and protect yourselves now, but because don't let somebody That's the other thing. We don't want somebody to get to know you so well, know your patterns and all this other kind of stuff, but, you know, protect yourself. But my point is, if this is a way of getting a driver and drivers to show good customer service and provide you, the Metro Access customer, with the service and the responsiveness you want, I'm willing to try it and let it go, and let's see how it works out.
Yeah, I'm just thinking about the safety issue, that the fewer passengers, you know, in between each trip, the better. So that's great. That's super. Thank you so much. I think the last thing we need to talk about before we get into bus, rail, and metro access reports is the budget. And everyone has read what was approved by the board. It was in the Washington Post. Tino sent it out. I sent it out. It's all there for you. And the document basically is a piece of paper that had to be passed in order for WMATA to apply for grants. The good news is, and I think we sent out the amount of money that WMATA is going to be getting in the new federal legislation, and it's over $1 billion. But they're going to need money in addition to that to keep the system running and in a state of good repair. So the budget they passed on paper has some good things in it that we had asked for. It doesn't have everything that we asked for. But part of the addendum when it was passed was that they will revisit it before it's implemented on July the 1st. And so this is not the final budget. And that's why in the letter to the board, I once again reminded them that since they are asking for a $2 flat fare on the weekends, that they extend that as a pilot for Metro Access. And consider some of the other things that we've done. So the budget is not dead, it's not in stone, and you know, we're just gonna have to pay attention to where it goes before July the 1st. And it's a question of survival and what's available.
Now, can I just ask you a question, Dr. Phil? I'm not trying to disagree with you, because obviously you've been dealing with the Metro budget and the Metro Access budget much longer than me, because even in my first few years as ADEP director, we weren't focused on the budget. We just said, here's what Metro needs to do to be accessible. Now, these last couple of years, I have delved obviously way into the budget. And last year we worked on the current budget we're working on. This year, I could pretty much tell you, I authored this year's budget for the Department of Access Services, including the significant increase for Metro Access this year. And I want to talk about that. But can I ask you, because maybe, and I'm always happy to learn, when you say the budget isn't final, are you talking about not that there's another procedural matter with the board, but because of this COVID-19 and its impact, the budget could change? Or are you saying it is another procedural matter? Because I felt leaving the other day, the budget was final.
No, this is because of the virus.
Okay.
And the board members approved the budget because they had to have one in place. But it's just like the president has a signing statement when he signs a bill into legislation. They have an addendum to the budget that states it will be reassessed before it is put into place on July the 1st. So if suddenly the virus is still there and things have gotten really bad, they may have to take some things out of the budget and add some things into the budget to change either the bus routes or the fares or the delivery of service or how things are going to work. So they left them that out because nobody knew. Nobody still knows what's going to be going on by July the 1st. So that's what I meant by it's not final. It's final up until July the 1st. And then if they don't have to change anything, that's what's going to go into place. But if things are really bad, then they may have to make some changes. The other thing that I did in my letter to the board was asking them to consider something that's being done in San Francisco, is now that they are actually shutting down stations and reducing the number of hours, if it's safe for staff and workers to actually go out and do the repair work on the tracks and the stations, do the lighting, do the switches that was scheduled. And they had a lot scheduled for this summer on orange, blue, and silver. They could shut down and do it 24/7 or something like that rather than waiting for the summer and doing it just night hours and weekends. And I put that in a letter as a question and a suggestion that they consider that safety being first for the workers. And if they have the facilities to be able to do that, but they've already shut down three stations in Arlington that were supposedly getting work over the summer, and there's an opportunity for them not to work part-time. So
can I address both of those points?
Yeah.
So let's start with the latter. Yes, you made that recommendation, and I have forwarded that recommendation to the powers that be, if you will, and it is being seriously considered. I don't have any more update than that. But I believe the idea is being seriously considered, and time will tell how far we go with that. But I think it was a great recommendation, and there are other aspects to it. It's not just, you know, that cut and dry, but I think it was a very good idea, and again, it's being considered very seriously.
And that's super. As I say, safety comes first.
Yes.
And then
on the budget, so yes, we do absolutely agree. Yeah, we felt that the budget was final, but I even told my team after the budget passed that the coronavirus, if nothing else, because of the lack of revenues that the fixed route is now not getting, the amount of revenues that the fixed route is not getting, there very well could be adjustments to this budget, either before July 1st or, I hate to say, perhaps even in the fiscal year. So I think we're going to be living with the effects of the coronavirus, no matter how soon it's declared over, if you will. I think we're going to be living with the impact for quite a while into the new fiscal year.
Yeah, no, the good news, I was worried because they passed this before the CARE Act was released by the legislature, by government. And we have been given the third largest amount of money to transportation systems in the country. New York is number one. I think LA is number two. We're number three. Chicago is number four. And so we're getting more than $1 billion right now. And they are currently in Congress talking about a fourth stimulus package to come out, which will include transportation because it's so important. So I'm a little less worried because they are getting some government funds.
Great. Yes, you're right. And part of the actions that Ms. Williams-Hall was describing to the committee is we will look at how much money did we spend in these COVID months versus how much we would have actually needed, if you will. How much extra things are we doing to ensure the safety of our customers and drivers when we bring on an additional provider that's basically providing non-emergency service, if you get my drift, mm-hmm. where their drivers are coming very much like an EMS unit, there's an extra cost to that. And those are some of the costs we're certainly going to apply for on our end. But really, the money you're referring to, most of it, if any, is going, I mean, if not all, from the Metro standpoint, is going to be related mostly to our fixed route services, because that's where the bulk of our expenses have come in at, and revenue losses. But also, I just want to share one thing when we look at the budget, because I really appreciate the more intense. I mean, we always had a budget. We had a budget work group for many years. Phil, you've always been intently meticulous in terms of the numbers. But again, I wasn't that involved. I played my role, and my role wasn't to go back and forth with Dr. Posner on the budget, if you will. But we're getting a lot of questions about the budget, and I just want to point out a couple of things. And we'll talk more about the budget through the course of the year and as we start this whole process all over again going into next year's budget. But you're going to see an increase in the access services budget, which 95% of it is Metro Access. So any increase means it's going to Metro Access. But I don't want the committee members or the members of the public who may be listening to think that, one, there's this huge pot of surplus and a huge windfall that's out there. The fact of the matter is demand for Metro Access service is skyrocketing. There is so much demand for people who are found eligible for paratransit service and then want to use it that if there wasn't an abilities ride program, one of two things would have had to happen. We would have had to ask for a whole lot more money, which would have brought a lot of scrutiny to our budget, or you would probably be looking at a fair increase. Now, I know we've been talking about perhaps a fair decrease that didn't get in this year, or even a flat fare. And again, I certainly support the flat fare. We've talked about that. But I just don't want anyone out there to believe that because of the Abilities Ride program, there's this big slush fund of funds because people are using that program. No, what is happening is that we're saving a lot of money that we would have otherwise had to ask the jurisdictions and the taxpayers for had the program not existed. And we can get more into details, you know, over the course of the next several months. But I really want, because I've been hearing that from too many individuals, so I said, let me just try to address it all at one time. We can discuss it here, but perhaps face-to-face may be better. And also, Dr. Phil, if I can recommend, and you know, I know Anu probably is, what they say, cyber-kicking me right now. But I would recommend you and the committee consider reconvening the budget work group ahead of next year's budget. So a lot of the discussions that have gone on between me and individuals one-on-one, you know, shorthand, if you will, in meetings can be more fully discussed so that there can be sort of a new re-education of what the access budget and the Metro Access budget in particular really looks like and means.
No, I agree. I agree. And I'll throw that off on Patrick because I put him in charge of that.
Okay. So it'll be Patrick and Anu at the meetings.
Yes, but this is a unique year with the board changing their finance committee director and the budget hearings and whatever, but no, that's a point that's well taken, and definitely we will do that. Are there any questions from the committee that we haven't covered on the budget before we head to Metro Access and then bus rail?
Well, Phil, you mentioned, and it was in the newspapers, that part of the discussion of the budget by the WMATA board was that in light of the budget crisis caused by coronavirus, there would have to be a review of where things stand in July. And that seems logical. But will there be any thought to having hearings on what a readjusted budget would be?
Well, they're required to do it in public, so it will be discussed at the Finance Committee first, and then it will go to the full board. And of course, the Finance Committee is made up of the full board. So that will all be done in public.
And
now that they're having their meetings on YouTube, I mean, everybody should pay attention.
Oh, wow. Yeah.
Hey, Bill.
Yes, Pat?
Pat. And yeah, I get the assignment. Mr. Blake will start that earlier, and we'll have more education in regular meetings concerning the budget for next year. Good idea. Yeah, that works.
Thank you.
And Bill, I agree with you about the idea of the, you know, what work can be done in the stations that are closed. I think it's a good idea. So
I think that's what you're arguing for.
I just like to say something. I'm sorry, and I got to move away from the TV. You know, this is interesting because there has been talk to try to speed up bus service by boarding from both the front and the rear. And with this crisis that we're dealing with, the city is actually having an experience of boarding in the rear. And I just wonder, I just conjecture, and we won't know for now, whether this might move along the possibility of either of free or free service for residents, or else perhaps boarding in both the front and the rear to save time and move buses along.
Well, that's all part of the bus transformation project, which has been pretty much put on hiatus until the virus is under control. But that's a good point, Steve, and I'm sure that's in the back of the general manager's mind. Any other comments on the budget before we go to Tino for the bus rail report?
I just wanted to say really quickly, just generally, I went to two of the meetings, and there are a lot of people. And that sticks with me, even though we're going through this now. I think there were more people there, especially in the DC one, than I expected. And I think that is overall a good thing and a good showing for this budget round. So I just wanted to bring that up again. I might have said it before, but it seems important to mention.
May I weigh in on the budget? Hello?
Okay, I guess we have some background.
That sounds like Heidi. Can Heidi, is that you, Heidi? No, she's on mute, so that's not Heidi.
Bill Orleans, I unmuted myself.
Okay, go ahead. Go ahead, Bill.
Thank you. Just very quickly, I think this discussion earlier mentioned by Mr. Blake of the budget work group and this discussion raised most recently suggests that there ought to be a discussion somewhere by some group of people, and I think the AAC could weigh in on this, that maybe there should be an alternative to fare revenues, that all transit should be fare free, and that indeed we ought to be asking the jurisdictions, and if you will, the taxpayers, it's not totally free, it's fare free, to contribute to the budget what is necessary to sufficiently transport people in the Washington Transit Zone. So I'm not saying this should be done right now by any members of the committee or Mr. Blake or any other senior member of Metro staff, but the discussion should begin. And somebody should suggest that the discussion should begin. And that's something that the AAC could do if it chose to do so. And I thank you very much, and I'll be quiet.
Mr. Chair?
Charlie.
Thank you. I just want to say quickly that the proposal that is out there for the budget, obviously this whole discussion is pretty important. And one thing that ought to be considered, in my view, is seeing if the gasoline tax can be used more productively for public transportation, which would do two things. First, it would discourage people from driving because they have to pay more taxes. And second thing, it would encourage more public transportation because people don't want to drive.
Heidi has a question.
This is not a budget. It's just, I didn't realize how public comment was. I wanted to share an issue that it's transit related and it relates to people with disabilities. And I just think you should be aware. I'm started a new community group for the DMV area, people with disabilities and seniors during this time, and sharing support, many things, but also issues. And an issue I'm hearing about, and I think you guys are the best person to bring it to, is all the ways that this situation is impacting direct service providers, personal care attendants, home health aides, whatever you want to call them, getting to the homes of people with disability are impacted greatly by the fact there are no schools are closed, so care workers are home with their own kids. But I'm also hearing that the transportation cuts are impacting people's personal care attendants to getting to their homes. And there's questions and discussion about people having to pay Lyft and other resources because their personal care attendants literally can no longer get to their home based on the limited service, which greatly, you know, not all of us on here, but there are people with more severe and different disabilities who are crucial that those people are there to assist them with the tasks of daily living. And I don't know, you know, there's simple or any one answer, but I just wanted to raise that to all of your awareness during this period of time because it is a concern.
Mr. Shin, do you have a question or comment?
Yes.
I believe Mr. Shin had raised his hand.
Hello? Could I speak to what Heidi mentioned?
Go ahead, Tim.
Am I on?
Go ahead, please.
Okay. Well, since these home care workers are so needed by the people they care for at the homes, maybe there's, this is really out of left field, but maybe there's some way of qualifying the home care workers so that they could take advantage of the, the Metro Access cabs that we've already contracted with to help people with disabilities themselves.
That would be lovely.
I'm sorry.
So maybe I missed that. Can you repeat that question or suggestion again?
Yes.
A plug-in about abilities ride use.
Yes.
In a different way.
Since the people with disabilities are, many of them are needed to be cared for by these home care workers, perhaps there's some way of qualifying them for some subsidy which would allow them to use the cab services that we're contracting for so that they can get from to the homes where the people that they serve live.
Tino, the question would be, is these workers are almost PCAs, personal care attendants. And right now, I believe that the person with disability has to be with the personal care attendant in order for them to use the Metro Access vehicle.
Exactly.
And I think the question is there a way for the personal care attendant to use the vehicle without the person that's actually needed? So if they're going from the home to get to the person they're taking care of, could they use a Metro Access vehicle as a PCA, even though the person they're taking care of isn't with them?
Well,
and that's a question for Mr. Blake to think about.
Right, and that's why I said I'm not one that, I love all ideas and we'll take all ideas under consideration. I certainly can't commit to that right this moment, but let me contemplate, let me think about it, let me figure out if there's a way that can be done, perhaps. And I'll report back to you all at our next meeting of what we've come up with, what we've thought about.
Well, I think as a bottom line, the home health care workers would have to be somehow certified to do this, just as the people who use the services are certified?
Well, they have a PCA card, Tino. So they already have a card from Metro that says they are PCA.
On the other hand, they can only use that when they're in a vehicle with the person that...
Correct. But what we're saying is if that's the ID and if there's some way that they can be permitted to be doing something for the person they're caring for without right. that person being with them, that's something that WMATA might be able to work out.
Well, I think with the next meeting, we don't have a quorum on this virtual meeting, but it seems to be that we could canvass all the members, and whenever we do have a quorum, we can get a motion passed that would certify these home care workers to be able to use the vehicles in the same way that they would if they were accompanying the people that they serve.
Right, but I think what we've already done without a motion is Mr. Blake is aware of this and he's going to be thinking about it as one of the problems that may need to be solved. And I think we're okay with that.
Okay, but just so you know, I think you do have a quorum. I just went through all the numbers online. I think you do have a quorum.
Oh, really? I can only see four people.
Well, yeah, there's only a few pictures, but I see about four or five other members who are online.
Yeah, Nui, you did the roll call. Do we have our 12 members
on the call?
We have 12.
So we do have a quorum.
We do have a quorum.
Because we voted on the minutes and the board and all that other stuff.
Right. Yeah.
We're good. We're just not taking naps, Tino, sorry.
Yeah, but the main thing is that the person in charge knows what the situation is, going to think about alternatives and things that can be worked out. Because Ms. Lopez is on the line, and Mr. Blake, and Mr. Schaefer, and amongst the three of them, I'm sure they can come up with what can be done, what's affordable, what's feasible, and they know what the situation is. So I would trust them. I don't think we need a motion at this point.
Well.
But if you want to make one, go ahead.
The reason I would make it is that it bears
Me a reason. Go ahead and make it.
It would bear more weight.
Go ahead and make it.
I move that consideration be given to certifying these home care workers to be able to use the Metro Access cabs or other vehicles to get to the homes where the people they serve live.
Mr. Chair?
Yes.
I wish to second the motion.
Okay, we have a motion and a second. It's open for discussion. Any discussion? Okay, I would make a suggestion that you not be that specific. That the motion state that permit PCAs to use Metro Access for tasks that are necessary for their clients. And so that would be getting there, getting home, getting groceries, getting drugs, getting supplies. So I would be less specific, not just getting to work.
Yeah, I agree with you.
I like your language.
So if you're happy with that amendment, we'll have to vote on the amendement.
All in favor
of the amendment.
Can't we just build the amendment?
Is it friendly?
Amendment, just make it part of the motion.
Tino?
Well, but the motion's already on the floor, so we have to add an amendment to it, and that's easy to do. So, all in favor of the amendment?
Aye.
Opposed?
Aye.
Okay, the amendment passes. Now, the motion with the amendment, all in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Okay, the motion passes. And once again, our wonderful staff knows what we've asked them to do, and I'm sure they will.
Thank you.
So I was offline. Have we had the bus rail subcommittee report yet?
Before, may I say something?
Yeah, please.
Well, before you move on, I just want to reiterate the email address where anyone listening to the meeting wants to share their comments, they can. The email address would be metroaacchair@vamara.com. That would be the email where anyone from the public who wants to share their comments can write in. If they want to contact us via email, they can contact us at 202-962-1100, leave a message, and we will contact them and forward their comments to the appropriate offices as needed.
And Metro AAC Chair is one word.
Yes.
There are no spaces.
No spaces. One more thing about the roll call. I do want to ask if Vanessa Coles is on the line with us, if she has joined us via a phone call. If Ms. Coles, if you're on the line, please tell me. I guess not.
It was Vanessa early on.
Okay, perhaps I missed her.
May have dropped off, as I have been dropping on and off from Florida.
Okay, because I'm sharing the screen, I don't have everyone at one point. Rico Dancy, he has not been able to join us. Melanie Jackson, are you on the line? Okay, Philippa Mazzell, if you're calling us through a phone call. And the last person I need to check in is Doris Ray. All right, thank you. I guess we don't have these people on the line with us. Go ahead, please.
That's great. So have we had the bus rail subcommittee report?
No, this is Tino, and I'm not prepared to report. I haven't seen a draft of the committee's last meeting. Presumably after I get that, I'd be prepared to make a report on that at a future, either subcommittee meeting or full AAC meeting.
Okay, that's fine. We'll do that. Paul, it's your turn.
Well, I guess I'm prepared because I saw my report from a new sense. So basically at the last meeting, there's not much to cover, and maybe Ms. Rush can also interject. We talked about at great length about Abilities Ride. Of course, right now with the COVID-19, a lot of the second wave of Abilities Ride expansion is probably on hold in terms of, since we can't do anything with COVID-19 in terms of getting people to independently use some of the other choices, that's going to have to wait, obviously, until after this is over, before we have any more showcases or any more expansion for everyone to try out all the choices that aren't currently doing it as on an experimental base. So that's where it stands for Abilities Ride. I'm sure Mr. Blake would correct me on that one. The WMATA budget, we already discussed at length during this meeting, so I'm not going to comment on that. And the third piece was the enhanced mobility grant for Metro Access related projects. And one of them that it was to be used for was to design a new van that meets sort of everyone's needs. Was going to see if Mr. Blake had any further input about the enhanced mobility grant. Where has it gone forward so far? My feeling right now, because of COVID-19, has probably been put on hold, because he talked about hiring an intern and outreach for Abilities Rides and its providers. But right now, I presume because of COVID-19, all that is sort of on hold because there are other, urgent matters to attend to. So I was going to ask Mr. Blake about the enhanced mobility grant. Is there any other update for it, or is that just on hold right now in terms of what you are sharing the vision of using it for? Because of COVID-19, it won't happen at this point. Well, it's on hold at this point, on the pause.
Well, the staff piece, the grant for hiring a staff member, that can't begin until July 1st at the earliest. Those are 21 money.
Oh, okay.
The AAC, yes, sir, the AAC will get an update on the van and have a discussion with Glenn Millis, who's the project manager. It was scheduled for this month, but because of what we're doing now, we pushed it back. So whether or not we're going to have an AAC meeting in person or via Zoom again next month, it will definitely be on next month's agenda in terms of where are we and what are we looking at in terms of a van. But then the actual purchase of whatever new van we all kind of agree to and decide on, that would be in fiscal year 21 as well.
Okay. Yes. And I'm presuming the same thing with abilities, right? There's no real updates because everything's kind of on hold in terms of its advancement because of this whole COVID-19 situation.
That is correct.
Okay, good. All right. Denise, if you're still on, did you have anything to add to this report? The only other thing I would add is, you know, Metro Access continues its, you know, safety procedures for the drivers and customers as we are transporting them during this coronavirus pandemic.
I think at this point we may have Dr. Posner may not be on the line with us at this. His connection may have dropped. I do not see him.
Anu, could I ask a question?
Sure.
I don't know, Paul, if we're past this report. This is Pat again. Want to say one thing. Anu, very nice meeting tonight. Nicely run. Well done, I think. The first time, this has been very good. A question about, I started logging in with a phone number. Did anyone else on the committee have issues with getting in using one of the phone numbers? I tried the 301 number.
And I know Ms. Rush did, but they worked with her through it and she finally got through it.
So, okay, my question for the group is then, it did accept the phone number? Because I got in there, put the audio in.
Yeah, so Patrick, Patrick, I think what happened was the phone number, unlike the app itself, the phone number appears that you cannot enter a meeting room until the meeting organizer has signed on. Because I tried with the phone myself twice and it didn't work. But once a new signed on,
then we're okay.
With the phone, yes.
That's beautiful.
You can get in with the app at any time.
Yeah. Oh, okay. I got you now. See, I'm a rookie at all this, so I'm learning like
it. Me too.
Me too.
Okay. Very nicely done. I wanted to say that this was very nice, a good meeting, and I don't know if we've made any decisions or if you guys have thought about, do we want to combine the bus, rail, and Metro Access meeting over the next month, you know, in one meeting or whatever? I guess we can wait on that decision, huh?
Well, I'm amenable. This is Tino. I'm amenable to having a joint bus, rail, and Metro Access subcommittee meeting together.
1 hour each? Yeah. I don't know how the rest of the committee feels.
I would need to consult with I will need to consult with Ms. Rush on that before saying yes.
Just to have a little bit more openness about this decision, not to make it at the moment, we can communicate via email, I guess, and get everyone's
opinions,
thoughts and suggestions and see how we want to move forward, and we can do it.
Yeah, that sounds
we have so at our hands so we can work through.
And Paul, I think it's a wise decision to always consult Ms. Rush.
In any event, the federal guidance is that the maintaining social distance lasts until April 30th. But I'm going to presume that this will be the situation for the indefinite future. So to expedite the suggestion that Patrick made, maybe Anu could send out to all members something along the lines of anticipating future meetings that have to be arranged by Zoom. Charles, did you have a...
Charlie, did you want to say something?
Yes, thank you. On the discussion about the telephone, in the Zoom documentation, there is a reference to the fact that for the best speech quality, it's best to use the app either on the PC, the Mac, or the OIS, iPhone, or whatever. The point is that that telecommunication is controlled by Zoom, whereas the other is a matter of luck. So I thought I'd mention that because the discussion went in that direction. Otherwise, as far as the other meetings are concerned, it's up to you guys. I'm Mr. Easy.
After we conclude this meeting, I would send out an email to all the chairs, vice chairs, to do and just inform so that we can communicate with the entire community. Committee, I should say.
I would like to mention for customer comment, maybe if you can kind of post it on the Metro website, or is there any way to post it as a brief IVR announcement if we decide to do our separate meetings before the Metro Access meeting, so customers know what avenue they have to deliver, either participate in the audio meeting if they can, or email or call in their comments, since, as I know at my meeting, if the customers can't be present, they probably do want an avenue to get their questions and concerns known. Ahead of the meeting, yeah. If that can be done by it's possible by IVR. Sure. Or the website, or a combination of the both.
We can definitely do via the website, IVR.
Discuss that with Mr. Blake and or Ms. Williams-Hall.
This is Darnice. I'd like to make a comment.
Go ahead.
My comment is, I think that we should leave the meetings separate, because if we do get customer feedback and we do have demonstrations, then our meetings would be too rushed.
Yeah, and we do get, and I agree with you, we get a lot of heavy customer comments from Metro Access.
Yeah. Because, I mean, it's a lot of information to take in, and then things change every week or every day with this COVID. So I would just like to be scheduled at regular time. Just my comments. Thank you.
Okay.
No, we agree with that, but that's just, yeah, I was just saying, yeah, nobody complains about Metro Access anymore.
Yeah, right.
There might be feedback during COVID-19. As a person who advocates for the customers, I just want to make sure their avenues are open. If they want to make comments about the service, good, bad, ugly, in between, that the avenue is there.
Right. Well, you can ask Heidi to post it on her new committee. Her new outreach group to post that we accepted email comments
and I would questions. Be happy to. Thank you. It's a good idea, Darnice. All
right. Yeah. And then I think we'll get plenty of comments. That's all. I suggest that we adjourn.
Sorry, I was actually communicating with Ms. Dr. Posner. He was trying to log back in and he's having difficulty. Is Ms. Rush with us?
Yes.
Okay.
I don't know about Ms. Rush, though.
We do have a motion on the floor.
To adjourn? Second.
Unless she wants to withdraw it and have more conversation.
No.
All right, everyone, have a great evening. Stay safe.
Thank you. Thank you all. Great meeting.